there's an expectancy that holds no compare. For these 28 years now, this October, I have been preaching. And over 25 of those years, I've been regularly conducting weddings. I have planned, prepared, and conducted, I think I can say, thousands of wedding ceremonies. I have seen the sweetest and best young ladies in this world walk down this aisle. I've choked with pride and with joy, and thank God for our kids, and for the fact that in this day of communism and hippie life and strife and revolution, there's still some old-fashioned, decent young people who love America and love God and love decency and believe the Bible. And I know no greater joy than to see our kids turn out right. It's a big day for a wedding. But for the Eastern woman, it is even and was an even bigger day than it is for our young ladies. We have all kinds of weddings. I had a little wedding in the chapel. I say a little wedding, a small wedding in the chapel last Friday evening at 6 o'clock. We had weddings. I guess the biggest wedding we had here was when Becky got married, and we filled this house. You know, it's a funny thing. I have conducted thousands of weddings and never have gotten scared. But when I walk down that aisle with Becky on my arm, do you know how long that aisle is? 3.5 miles. 3.5 miles long. And you know how many eyes were looking at me? 74,263. And I never realized exactly how it was before. But we had little weddings. I heard about an Indian wedding they had out in an Indian reservation where the chief said, looked at the groom and said, "Want him?" He said, "Ugh." He looked at the bride and said, "Want him?" And she said, "Ugh." And he said, "Got him." And that's all there was to it. Now, but for an Eastern lady, no such wedding as that. No little wedding in a house somewhere. No little wedding somewhere in a pastor's study for an Eastern lady. It was a big thing for her to have a wedding. Dreams from childhood swelled in the minds of little girls in the East as they anticipated the day of their wedding. The Eastern lady would secure every coin. She would save with ecstasy, delight, and dreams of joy for her wedding day. She would take every coin she could make and she would buy an ornament with that coin. She'd put the ornament in a box and lock that box awaiting her wedding day. She would get every ornament she could, every jewel possible. For her main dream was to someday walk an aisle or stand before people and glitter for the onlookers on her wedding day. Those Eastern ladies who were not so interested in an elaborate wedding, an elaborate gown, and ornaments. I mean, you'll find in a few minutes ornaments all over. They were considered insane and not emotionally stable. They worked at hard labor to buy the ornaments. Now, what were these ornaments? I'll give you a little marriage lecture this morning on the trousseau of a well-dressed young lady in the East. First, anklets. These anklets were made of metal. They wrapped around the ankle. I almost dressed Dr. Billingsen up one like this morning, but the anklet and made of metal, and if they could afford it, they'd have stones, jewels in that metal, those metal anklets, and bells. So as the lady walked down the aisle on her wedding day, she'd ring her bells as she walked down, and the jewels would listen, and she would feel that she was an honored bride. That isn't all. She would wear a wreath on her forehead. She'd tie on one ear, one end of the wreath onto one ear, and the other end of the wreath on the other ear, and across the forehead would be a beautiful wreath. And if she could afford it, she would work and work and save and save. She would dot that little wreath with jewels across her forehead. Then she wore what they call crescents. A crescent. It's called in the Bible a moon. In the original language, it's called a crescent. It's called a crescent because it was shaped like a crescent. It was around the neck. It was called a round tire, T-I-R-E. And that little necklace, was bedecked with jewels. And then she wore chains on her ears, long hanging chains, earring. It was her wedding day. So she had on anklets and a wreath on her forehead and crescent around her neck and a chain, chains from her ears. Then she wore armlets right above her elbow here. She would tie something and from that thing would hang armlets, and as she'd walk down, you've seen cowboys that have things like that, and as she walked down, she'd have jewels flowing from her arms. Can you feature? Jewels from the neck, jewel across the forehead, jewels around the ankles, jewels on the arms. That isn't all. She wore a muffler. Every up-to-date Eastern bride wears a muffler. And you men are like this. You know what the muffler was? It was something to cover her mouth. Amen? Hallelujah? Praise the Lord? We got two that aren't cowards, and they're both bachelors. There was something that covered the mouth. And if the young lady had worked hard enough, if she really was decked out as she wanted to be decked out, she had jewels on the muffler that covered her mouth. And then there was a headdress called a bonnet. There were ankle chains holding the ankles together. She couldn't get away that way. But she'd have ankle chains and a chain between the anklets. And so she could take a step only so far. She couldn't take a big step, the chain, and she could take a little step on that wedding day. And these, of course, were bedecked also with jewels. And then she carried with her a tablet, or tablets. And that word tablet in the Bible means a scent body, a bottle, a perfume bottle. And she'd carry it in her hands on her wedding day. She would wear a ring or rings on her fingers. And the wealthier would wear rings on every finger on the wedding day. But that isn't all. She wore a ring or jewel through her nose. Did you know that if we had had a wedding ceremony in the East and days gone by in many places, I would have said, instead of saying, "And now, John, would you take this lovely ring and place it upon the third finger of Mary's left hand?" I'd say, "John, would you take this lovely ring and stick it through Mary's nostrils?" Or something on that order. Maybe a little nicer words than that, but something on that order. "Would you take this lovely ring?" And she'd wear her wedding band maybe through the nose. And that isn't all. She took many changes of garments. The word mantles here means petticoats, and the word wimples means an overcoat. You get your wimple on, put your wimple on. That means the overcoat. And the crisping pins meant purses, and the glasses meant mirrors, and there were scarves. And so from the bonnet on the top of the head down to the scarf across the head, and on down to the crescent around the neck, or the tire around the neck, and the armlets on the arm, and the leglets, and the things holding the feet together, and the muffler covering the mouth, and all of the jewels the lady could acquire through years of hard labor and toil in early years. Her wedding day was the biggest day of her life, and so for years she collected and she dreamed of the coming of the wedding day. And finally the day came. What an occasion. What an occasion. The nearest thing that I could compare it with would be you folks who were here down south, many of our colored friends down south. When they had weddings, boy, you never saw such weddings in your life. And when they had funerals, listen, they really had funerals, and they still do in some places. You heard about the lady who was eating watermelon down in Mississippi. And somebody came up and said, "Your old man just died." She kept on eating the watermelon. And they said, "Your husband, he's dead." She kept on eating the watermelon. And they said, "Look, Oswald is dead. He's dead." She said, "I know it." And kept on eating her watermelon. And the fellow finally said, "Look, aren't you going to carry on?" Said, "Your husband's dead." She said, "Yes, I'm going to carry on." Said, "As soon as I get through eating this watermelon, you ain't never heard such carryings on as I was going to do." Now, that's the way. Now, somebody's going to say, "I'm a racist." If you say that, you're a liar, a big, fat liar. I love the Southern Negro, and I hate to see him pass off the scene. There's a certain sincerity and honesty and fervor about their faithfulness in preaching and loving the gospel that we white folks need. Of course, Brother Vineyard, he's not here now. He's working on the buses, but he preached to the dear colored church. My heart is encouraged. A Negro church on the south side of Chicago, running 1,500 now, and about to start. They're inviting our entire staff over. We're going to have a pastor school for the Negro brethren over in the South Chicago area and try to set that South Chicago area on fire for God. And so forth, and I thank God for them. But that's the kind of thing. It was something big. And so all these years, this little young lady has dreamed since childhood. She's collected jewels and collected ornaments and collected something for her head and something to cover her mouth and something for her neck and something for her arms and something for her feet and something for her nose and rings for her hands. And all these ornaments have been collected through all these many years. And now comes the wedding day, and the highest day, the biggest day of a young lady's life in the East was the day when she became a bride. What a day. Jeremiah asked the question, can she ever forget it? Patsy, are you here, you and Alan, this morning? All right, raise your hand if you're here. Are they here this morning? Patsy, are you married? How long have you been married? 5 weeks. Alan, you still married? Now, you don't look very happy about it, but you're still married? Patsy, you've forgotten your wedding gown, haven't you? Huh? You've forgotten how it was made, haven't you? Alan, you've forgotten all about the wedding, haven't you? No. And by the way, when Patsy's beautiful face is wrinkled and her brow is furrowed and her shoulders are stooped and she's an aged person and her eyes are dimmed and her step is unsure and her hands tremble, she'll still remember that day when she stood and sang to Alan, sang at her own wedding, sang to Alan here with hand in hand, and she'll recall the veil and she'll recall the gown and what the Bible is saying here. How in the name of heaven could any young lady who dreamed for marriage and planned for marriage, and I might add, connived for marriage. And how could any young lady ever forget such a wonderfully blessed day? And our Lord says, should we ever forget the day we were saved? The Isaiah 61:10 likens the garment of wedding to salvation and likens the ornaments worn on the wedding day to the ornaments God gives us at salvation. Can we ever forget the day we were saved? When we took the pearl of great price as our ornament and the robe of righteousness as our covering for our sins and were born again. Think of the ornaments we got that day. Our names were written in heaven in the book of life. We were saved from the fires of hell to eternity in heaven. The peace of God came into our soul, the joy that passeth, peace that passeth understanding, and the joy of the Lord. We got Christian friends, the Holy Spirit to live in us. The Bible was a new book, our sins forgiven. Can we ever forget it? Let me tell you something this morning. I'm a little worried about that person that saved, doesn't know when he was saved. I'm a little worried about that person that says, yes, I think I'm saved. Well, when were you saved? I don't know. Well, you ask Alan Loser when he was married, and he'll tell you. If he forgets, he'll sure get reminded by Patsy, I'll tell you for sure. And she'll not forget. Can a little lady who's come and given her life to the man of God's choosing, and she looks in his eyes and she says, I'm yours as long as I live. And all around her is the gown that she's picked as the most beautiful gown in the whole world. It's the wedding gown she must have. And on her finger he slips a ring, and that ring that she's hoped and dreamed for all these long years. And she walks out that aisle to the tune of the recessional being played, and she stands in the waiting in the line, receiving line, and receives the congratulations of those who love her, and goes over to the reception and cuts the cake, and she smears the cake all over his face, and he pushes it all over hers. They come back over here and they take pictures. Can she ever forget it? Well, then pray tell me, how could a person ever forget the day when Jesus washed his sins away? Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing heart rejoice and tell its raptures all abroad. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. Can I ever forget? Some people come to me sometime or write me. I got two letters recently. Said, Brother Howells, when are you going to quit telling about little Jackie boy getting saved? I said, never will tell him. Forget it. Never will forget about it. Could I forget it? Could I forget the day when little poor, little barefoot boy realized that God loved him and that Jesus died for him? Could I ever forget the day when the WMS of the Fernwood Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, called a special prayer meeting, and those dear ladies got on their knees and prayed for God to save a poor little drunkard's boy in the church that didn't have enough food to eat and didn't have an indoor toilet and didn't have any running water and didn't have any clothes to wear and went to school barefooted. And they prayed for God to save that poor little boy of a drunkard, the town, the neighborhood drunkard. Can I forget the day when I was standing in the church one Sunday morning on the pew, and the pastor got up with a crowd of people and said, oh, God, save the lost, but save Jackie boy. Save Jackie boy. And I said, oh, that pastor loves me and wants me to be saved. Can I forget the night when I was sitting in training union and all of a sudden conviction began to grip my soul, and I said, I've got to be saved. But the devil said, you're afraid of water. My mother always taught me I had to learn to swim. She said, son, if you don't learn to swim, I'll spank you, but don't you ever get close to water. You might drown. And so I never learned to swim, and I was afraid of water. And I sat there that night in the junior training union, and I said, I ought to be saved, but I know if I get saved, I'll have to get baptized, and I'm afraid to get baptized. Can I ever forget the night when I was walking out the back door and up a little gangplank of a walkway to an outdoor service in the backyard
part of the church when I stopped and knelt on that little gangplank and I said, "Dear God, my daddy came home drunk last night and I'm the little poor little kid in the church and the church sends us baskets on Thanksgiving and on Christmas. But oh God, if you love me enough to save me and take me to heaven, if you love me enough to take me away from a little shack of a house with no plumbing and no indoor facilities and not enough food to eat and not enough clothes to wear, if you love me that much enough to take me to heaven and let me live in a mansion forever, I'll dead sure receive you as my Savior." Can I forget the night when I sat during the service and said under my breath, I said, "Brother McElroy, hurry up and get through. I'm about to walk the aisle. I got saved a while ago, and I wanted to hurry up." Now, you want me to hurry up and get through, but not for the same reason. And I said, "Hurry up and get through." The invitation time came, and I came, and a young boy named Squires, two of us, walked the aisle to get saved that night. And Brother McElroy, a big man, about 6'4", picked me up in his arms and hugged me and kissed me on the cheek. And he said, "Folks, I've been praying for Jackie Boy to get saved for several years." And the people rejoiced and delighted and came by and shook my hand. Can I ever forget it? Can I ever forget it? I don't know anything about a salvation that you'll forget. I don't know anything about this thing. When I think I'm saved, don't know when it happened. I don't know anything about that. I know the moment that is done, the great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and He is mine. He drew me and I followed on, charmed to confess His love divine. Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. He not only gave me a robe of righteousness, but He gave me an ornament of peace and an ornament of joy and a ring of assurance and earrings of satisfaction and ornaments of ecstasy and the ornament of the blessed Word of God that's been my guidebook all these years, and the ornament of having my name written in heaven. I was saved. I went back the next morning and said to the neighbor across the street, Ben Sanders. I said, "Ben, I got saved last night." He said, "What's getting saved?" I said, "Ben, would you rather live in a mansion or a shack?" He said, "What's a mansion?" I didn't know. I forgot to ask. I knew I didn't. I knew I had one. The preacher said I had one, but I knew what a shack was. I lived in one. I lived in a shack where one night a snake crawled up through the cracks in the floor. And a snake was crawling across our floor. And I couldn't sleep all night. Mother had to sit by my bed because I was so scared of snakes. I hate anything that crawls. I hate a snake. I hate a worm. I want a baby to be born walking. I don't like anything to crawl. And so I knew what a shack was. Let me tell you something this morning. Listen to me. There's something better than this veil of tears. There's something better than a woman waiting at Dyer Mercy Hospital this morning for the doctors to finish the test. There's something better than a 14-year-old lad wondering if he has leukemia. There's something better than a world where Todd Cunninghams are killed in car wrecks. There's something better than a world where little boys and girls have to suffer. There's something better than a world of Watergate and heartache and heart attacks. And there's something better than a world of arthritis and you ladies whose husbands have gone on to heaven, you have to live alone. There's something better than this world of cursing and dope and liquor. There's something better than this world of filth and sin and sex and perversion. There's something better than this world of atheism and heathenism and paganism. There's something better, bless it be God, there's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by we shall meet on that beautiful shore. Can I ever forget the day I got it? Oh, let me tell you this morning, if you are here and you do not know the day you were saved, if you could not stand up this morning and say, listen, every lady in this house who had a formal wedding could stand up and tell about it. You could tell exactly where you left, what aisle you walked down, where the attendants all stood, what you had on, what color the attendants had on. I said, "Are you married?" "Yes." "You know when you got married?" "Yes." "Know where it was?" "Yes." Know who was there?" "Yes." Anything less than that kind of a salvation bothers me a great deal. It bothers me a great deal. Oh, let me ask you a question. If this morning we had every lady stand up here and tell about her wedding day, you wouldn't miss a thing. Suppose I said, "Patsy, come up here and tell us about your wedding day. Start off with who you married and then go on up from there. I mean down from there. Patsy, tell us all about it." And Patsy stands up and she says, "Well," she said, "I forget what day it was. I just feel like I'm married though.
Who'd you marry? Well, let's see. Oh, my. I thought I knew. I remember you told me the night we married. Well, what'd you have on? Oh, blue jeans, I think. Seems like that's what every one of these Jezebels have on around here these days. God pity you, pant-wearing, short-wearing girls. Don't know how to dress modestly like women. Amazing. I get that in. If I preach on heaven, I get that in, don't I? You say, when are you going to quit putting it in? When you start dressing like ladies, that's when. I said, I want to come one time. You had to get on pant wearing and short wearing. Know it. I want you to get it while you're here. Patsy, what was the ring like? Oh, I don't know. I lost it on a honeymoon. I don't know. It's round, I think. Not sure. You would say, she doesn't care much about marriage. You reckon she's really married? No, I doubt it. Well, as I said to you, asked you this morning, when were you saved? Oh, I don't know for sure. It's sort of hazy in my mind. Well, but tell us about it. Who was there? Oh, I don't remember who was there. Who was preaching? I don't know who was preaching. Where was it? I don't really know exactly where it was. Do you know you're saved? Well, I live a pretty good life. You're not saved because you live a pretty good life. Suppose I said, Pastor, you're married? Yeah, I wear a pretty dress. You're not saved because you wear a pretty dress. You're not married because you wear a pretty dress or saved because you live a pretty life. You're saved because one day you realized that you were a sinner and you came to God and said, oh, God, I know I'm lost and I know Jesus died for me and I want to trust him as my Savior. Don't you tell me that could happen and you not know it. God does not give you anesthetics when you get saved. Don't you tell me you could have your name written in heaven and become a new creature in Christ and your sins forgiven, rolled away, rolled away, rolled away, every burden of your heart rolled away. Don't you tell me the greatest, most amazing, most wonderful, most transforming experience in the world could take place in your life and you wonder where you were and if it happened and where it happened. I don't believe it. I don't believe it for a minute. Once a man asked me, he said, Brother Hiles, what's heaven going to be like? I stuttered for a while. And I said, I don't know all about heaven, but here's what heaven is to me. All us old sinners going to get around Jesus. We're going to put him in the middle. And we're going to look at him. Oh, to look at the one whom we've preached and loved all these years. Oh, the blessed day when the veil is pulled back and we shall see him as he is. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. There's no friend to me like Jesus. He my every need supplies. He not only saves but keeps me. Nothing good from me denies. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Sweetest note in Sarah's song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, sweetest carol ever sung. Jesus, blessed Jesus, we're going to put him in the middle, I said, in heaven, and he'll be in the center, and we're going to have about a 1,000-year testimony meeting, and I think I see some dear lady as she stands up, and she looks to Jesus and said, Jesus, you remember that day? Remember that day you were traveling through Samaria, and you got tired, and you stopped and sat on a well, and I came, remember carrying my water pot? And you told me that you were in the water business too. And you told me you'd give me water. If I take one drink, I'd never get thirsty again. And I said, I want that water. And remember how I lifted up my skirt? And I wish you and you ladies had skirts to lift up. I lifted up my skirt and I went down to the city of Sychar. Hey, come see a man told me all things I ever did. And I got saved. That was my happy day. And all of us old dirty sinners are going to join and sing, hallelujah, what a Savior. Who can take a poor lost harlot, lift her from the miry clay and set her free. And then what's heaven going to be like? Fellow's going to stand up. He's going to say, Jesus, remember that day I was sitting at the seat of custom, tax collector, and you walked in and told me you were the Messiah, and I fell at your feet, and I trusted you. I'm Matthew. Remember that? That's when I was saved. And we'll all join and sing, hallelujah, what a Savior. Who can take a poor lost tax collector, lift him from the miry clay, and set him free? And then I think somebody's going to stand up and say, Jesus, I barely made it here. I was actually dying.
And I looked over and I saw you dying. I heard you say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. I saw you die. I saw you bless those that cursed you. I saw you love those that hate you. I saw you pray for those that were nailing you to the cross. And I said, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And right there on that cross with my hands pierced with nails, I was saved. And we're all going to shout, hallelujah, what a Savior who can take a poor lost thief, lift him from the mire clay and set him free. And I'm going to step up and I'm going to say, Lord, I never was a thief. At least I never found out about it. I never was a thief. And I never was a wicked tax collector. And I never was wicked and fallen like the poor woman at Sychar. But Lord, I was a poor little boy. And one night my daddy came in drunk. We'd been awake all night waiting for him. And he hit the tree out in front of the house. And the neighbors came out and saw the town drunk stagger in. And I went to church that morning and I said, it's not fair. Why can't my daddy be saved like everybody else is? And the preacher stood up and prayed for Jackie boy. And I got saved. And I think they're going to say, hallelujah, what a Savior who can take a poor lost junior, lift him from the miry clay and set him free. You have a testimony this morning? Huh? Can you forget it? Can a bride forget her attire? Can a bride forget her wedding gown? Can a bride forget her ring? Can a bride forget her band, the crescent around her neck and the band around her head? Can the bride forget her bonnet? Can the bride forget her armlets? Can a bride forget her leg pins? Can a bride forget her muffler? Can a bride forget her shoes? Can a bride forget her groom? No, 10,000 times no. And God, give me a salvation that folks can't forget and wonder about and hope about and wish. God, give us a salvation that says it's real. It's real. I know it's real. Praise God, the doubts are settled, and I know it's real. Let me ask you a question. Do you have a testimony? Huh? Son, if I ask you to walk up here and stand behind this pulpit, could you tell me about where you were saved and when you were, when you were saved, and who was there? Huh? Folks in the choir, could you step up behind this microphone? Oh, you'd be a little nervous, and you may stutter. Or you may tremble, or your knees may not, but could you tell us about it? Huh? Could you, the lady on the front, could you tell us? Could you walk up here and tell all these people about when you were saved? Huh? Huh? Could you folks over here in the balcony up here, could you walk up here? What did you say to the house? I don't know. Oh, well, you're going to have to one of these days. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Martin Luther one day was tempted by the devil. The devil came and tried to say he wasn't saved. Martin Luther got so mad at him and the devil became so real, he picked up an ink bottle and threw the ink bottle against the wall and said, get out of here, you devil! But you won't get the devil out of there unless you've got a testimony. No, you won't. No, you won't. No. The other day I was in Texas. I drove out of the way to the airport. And I drove out to the little poor section of Dallas where I grew up. The Black Oak. The ghetto. Where nobody in the neighborhood had an indoor toilet. And I went back behind the church building. And I knelt at the most sacred spot on earth to me. And I relived it. And one of these days, when these lips are stilled and this tongue is quiet and this voice has preached this last sermon, and I pray every time I walk through those doors this morning, I prayed it, oh God, help me to preach with the same fervor this morning as if I knew it was the last sermon I'd ever preached. But when these lips are stilled and this voice is quiet and this body no longer is able to stomp and hit the foot, and I stand before God, if there's any doubt in the world, I can say, look, Jesus, come here. Come with me. Look down there. Remember? Huh? Remember? In August 1927. Remember? You know what I did. I trusted you, and you know it. How about you? You're going to have to give your testimony one of these days. You're going to have to give it. Is it real? Is it real? If it isn't, I'd make it July 29, 1927.
1973. The day about which you sing in eternity, "Oh, happy day that fixed my choice on Thee, my Savior and my God." And you, like the bride, will never forget the robe that the Holy Spirit wrapped around you, or the ornaments of peace and love and joy and satisfaction He gave you. If you this morning would say, "I know I'm a sinner, dear Jesus, and I know You died for sinners, and I receive You as my Savior today." Would you? Can a bride forget her attire? Can a bride forget her ornaments? Can a born-again, blood-bought, converted, saved child of the King forget the day? Let us pray. Father, I love these people like I love my own life. I've pastored these people for 14 blessed years. I don't want any of them to go to hell. And Lord, You know, I'd rather for them to be too sure than a little bit unsure. I'd rather for them to be too certain than take a 1/1,000th of a chance. Oh God, today may every person who walks out these doors be able to stop as he walked out and remember his garment and the ornaments. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. How many can say this morning, brother, now right now, every eye closed, every teenage eye, every junior eye, every child's eye, every eye, I want you right now to relive your conversion. Do it. I'm talking about the PhDs on our college faculty. I'm talking about the bus kid with hole in his pants this morning. Talking about the teachers of Greek in our college, and I'm talking about the illiterate man that can't write his own name but has to sign an X on his checks. I'm talking about the person that came this morning in a Rolls Royce and the person that came on a bus. Think of your conversion experience. Relive it. Relive it. Where were you? Can a bride forget her gown? I want you to picture yourself standing before Jesus someday, telling your testimony. Picture it. I wonder how many would say, "Brother Hiles, I'm willing to risk my eternity on my conversion. Yes, I remember the day that I knew I was a sinner. I remember the day when I knew that sinners were lost without Christ. I remember the day when I said, 'Yes, Jesus died for sinners as a substitute.' I remember the day when I trusted Him as my Savior." Brother Hiles, I'm thinking about it right now. I'm thinking about it right now. I could no more forget it than a bride could forget her wedding gown. Yes, I'm saved, and I know it. And I could testify of the fact. Lift your hand with heads bowed. Keep it up for a minute while I talk to the ones whose hands are down. If your hand is not up, I appreciate your honesty. I appreciate your willingness to be honest. Now, God loves you, and God wants you to go to heaven too. And so do I. You can put your hands down. Now, I wonder if you'd be just that honest again. Would you be just that honest again? How many would say, "Brother Hiles, I couldn't. I don't have a testimony. I don't know that I'm saved. I don't know that if I died today I would go to heaven. But I want to know. Oh, I want to go to heaven when I die. I don't want to go to hell. I want to be saved. I want to know it. I want to be able to say with Brother Wober, 'It's real. It's real. Oh, I know it's real. Praise God, the doubts are settled. And I know it's real.'" I wonder how many would say, "Brother Hiles, that's what I want, but I don't know I have it. I want to be saved. I want to know I'm saved." pray for me? On the lower floor, quietly, with every eye closed, would you lift your hand for prayer? And by the raising of the hand, you would say, pray for me. God bless you. God bless you, lady. Who else on the lower floor? Pray for me. God bless you, sir. I see your hand, sir. God love you. God bless you. I see you back there on my right, near the rear. God bless you. I see you way back in the back. Who else would say, Brother Hiles, include me in the prayer? On the lower floor, God bless you, son. God bless you, young lady. God bless you. God bless you, sir. Thank God for that man. God bless you. God bless this man right here. And God bless the lady back in the back. God love you, dear lady. And I love you, too, in Jesus' name. Who else would say, God bless you, sir. You can put your hand down. Who else would say, include me on the lower floor. Pray for me. I want to know it. I want to know I'm saved. Pray for me. Lift your hand, please. All over the building. Men, women, boys, and girls on the main floor. Would you lift your hand, please? Quickly. God bless you, sir. God love you. Who else? Who else on the main floor? Pray for me when you pray, Brother Hiles. I want to settle this matter. I'm tired of holding my hand up about 2 inches when you say, raise your hand. I'm tired of thinking, of wondering and hoping and wishing and going to bed at night and can't sleep and doubting. I'm tired of it. I want to sing, praise God, the doubts are settled. Who else on the main floor? Lift your hand. The balcony on my left, you'd say, Brother Hiles, pray for me. I don't know that I'm saved, but I want to know. The east balcony, lift your hand, would you please? Lift it. God bless you. I see you, fella. God love you. Who else in the east balcony? Pray for me. I want to be saved. God bless you, little lady. I see you. Who else in the east balcony? On my left. In the center balcony. Who up in the center? God bless you. I see you, that hand. And God bless you, sir. God loves you this morning. Oh, he loves you. Who else in the center balcony would say, include me in the prayer? Lift your hand, would you please? Lift your hand. The balcony on my right. You'd say, Brother Hiles, I want to know I'm saved. I don't know, but I want to know. God bless you, little lady. Who else? Who else would say, include me in the prayer? Include me. God bless you, lady. God loves you. Who else in the balcony on my right? Anybody else? Yes, God bless you. Anybody else on the lower floor? I'm going to pray, but first, anyone else want to raise your hand anywhere in the house? Say, include me. Our Heavenly Father, we don't want to alarm people who are saved. Neither do we want to tranquilize people who think they're saved and aren't. Oh, God, we just ask that everybody trust Jesus. We just ask that everybody become a new creature in Christ. I pray for these men, these grown men who've lifted strong arms and said, pray for me. These little ladies who've lifted arms that have toiled for years and said, pray for me. These teenagers with their energetic arms have been raised and said, pray for me. These children with their little arms have also said, pray for me. Oh, God, today, speak to the hearts of all of these. And may they get something today and do something today that can mean forever and ever 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 they can sing, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. Make it so.